This is the Media and Ministry column. It's entitled The Ongoing Reformation of Language for God. It's an interview with the author and theologian Mary Streufert by John Potter. Throughout her time as ELCA Director for Gender Justice and Women's Empowerment, Mary Streufert has heard from many people hungry for expansive, inclusive language and images of God. She wrote her new book, Language for God, A Lutheran Perspective, for those people and other readers who need assurance that language and images for God include all genders and ethnicities, who are unsure why language and images for God matter, and who want language for God to be faithful to the Scriptures and to the witness of Christian theological tradition. She wants the book to help readers feel the capacity to allow God to dwell among them through language for God that's inclusive of all genders or no gender, and expansive of other beings and things in the world. Living Lutheran spoke with Streufert about how her book offers scriptural, theological, and historical insights into such images and language using a Lutheran perspective as a compass. We ask, could you tell your readers about language for God? She responds, I wrote it for people I've met over the years, congregational members, pastors, bishop, worship leaders, teachers, students of faith, some of whom don't understand what's the big deal about almost exclusively masculine language and images for God, and some of whom are desperate for others to be willing to transform the language of faith to be multigendered. The common denominator is that everyone seemed to need theological explanations that were both Lutheran and scriptural, and even though I speak as a Lutheran from within this faith tradition, I think how I use history, theology, and scriptures can speak to many Christians. We ask, how did you decide to write a book on this topic? Well, sitting in a pew every week with three children who are males made the urgency for a book like this part of my daily life. Their hearts and minds were soaking up a nearly exclusive understanding and experience of God as masculine or male. Children matter too much to me to ignore how much the languages and images for God need to be of all genders. Language for God has been on my mind since I read Elizabeth Johnson, She Who Is, in 1998. That book fed a hunger that I had no vocabulary for at the time, and ever since I have needed another layer, one that comes from the Protestant tradition, especially my own as a Lutheran. And as I shared the book, people told me how much they ached for language for God that includes masculine, feminine, and neutral language and images. People have shared their anger, their tears, their shock, and their delight with me. It was time to answer them. We asked, why is it particularly important for Lutherans to be mindful of using and recognizing inclusive and expansive language for God and images for God? She responds, Lutherans are oriented to proclaiming God's grace through Christ. Christians proclaim God's promise of grace in many ways, including sermons and liturgies. Martin Luther thought it was a duty of ministers and of every Christian to communicate God's love, and he was absolutely clear, how we speak must be effective. Androcentric, or otherwise male-focused language, is not effective for many people. It can interfere with faith, so we need to search for language that's effective. I think the Lutheran concern to effectively communicate God's grace mirrors how Paul approached people. He wrote to the community at Corinth that he became all things to all people that I might, by all means, save some. Early Christians were learning to proclaim grace in many ways. So this is why the ELCA social statement, Faith, Sexism, and Justice, A Call to Action, calls on leaders and members to enlarge the dialogue about the practice of inclusive and expansive language and images for God, and calls on the Conference of Bishops, Synods, and the Churchwide Organization to use gender-inclusive and expansive language for God. We ask, what do you most hope readers will take away from the book? She responds, curiosity might be the best guide in reading this book. What surprises you? What takes you someplace in the Christian tradition that you did not know about or pay much attention to? In the book, I say, this is like listening to all parts of the piece of music and not only the melody. I hope my book feeds and sustains people in conversation with each other. Maybe after dialogue with my ideas and with each other, readers will look for even more conversation resources and partners to discern faithful transformation of liturgy, educational materials, and daily language.